that is an impossible figure to get around. So think about the birth of Christ, and 1,000 years before that was David, roughly. And so this period, time period, is in the middle of that, because we're counting down to the birth of Christ. So 732 BC. And at this stage, you've got two kingdoms of Israel. You've got Israel in the north, and then you've got the kingdom of Judah in the south. And then you've got this whole range of other kingdoms around them. And just to above them to the north, you've got a mighty Assyrian empire. And what the Israel and Judah are doing at that time, the kings of Judah and Israel are up to, is they're making alignments with other forces around them. So you've got the kingdom of the Ammonites, the Arameans, the Moabites, and all these, and they're making different alliances with them to try and bulk themselves up, because they are a little bit concerned about what's happening with the Assyrians, who are a bit like vultures that are coming down. The Assyrians had a scorched earth policy, okay? And that meant, think Gaza, all right? The scorched earth policy meant that these people, these armies with their with their might. No, don't tell me. That's it. No, that's it. These armies, the Assyrian army, would come in. They'd pulverize everything. They'd destroy everything in sight. They'd take away all infrastructure, all the ability to grow food, things like this. Everything. Their ability, the Israelites and the kingdom of Judah, they would have absolutely nothing left. Scorch earth policy. And once they'd done that, and they were doing that systematically all the way around the area, then they'd take the people into slavery and they'd march them off. So you can understand that Israel and Judah are a little bit concerned at this moment in time, especially when they hear that some of the alliances that they had made with their neighbours, well, their neighbours were jumping ship and were making alliances with Assyria. So here we are, we're in a place. If you were asked what was the word for the year, these people in Israel and Judah would say darkness. They were in a real place of darkness. That was their year. Word for the year, darkness. Fear is mounting. The threat to their life is very, very real. And defeat was likely. In fact, they had no way of not being defeated by the Assyrians. Conditions in both Judah and Israel were so bad that folk were even seeking advice from the dead. They were seeking external sources. And Isaiah, in the chapter before, the one that Sue read us in Isaiah 9, actually says, "What are you up to? Why are you doing this? Why don't you consult God?" After all, God had quite specifically told his people that they were not to consult the dead. And as far as I'm aware, that has not changed to this day. And so Isaiah is saying, you know, you need to go to God. And in fact, I've got the solution for you. says Isaiah. Now, Isaiah came from the high court, if you like, in Judah area. He was part of the hierarchy, really. And here he comes, and he's not talking to Judah. He's talking to Israel in chapter 9 of Isaiah. But he's saying, you know, I've got a solution for you. And you can imagine Israel, who are going to be the first to be hit by the Assyrians, say, oh, great, great. What are you going to do for us? What has God said is going to happen? And do you know what Isaiah said? Unto us a child, unto you a child is born. Oh, okay. Unto you a son is given. Oh, all right. Oh, how long's this going to take, for goodness sake? You know, you're telling us that instead of the might of some great army of what have you that God's going to raise up and do, he's going to send a child. He's going to send a child into that. Really? How can this child be the answer to their cries for help? And yet, theologian Roy Ortland says it best, I think. God's answer to everything that has ever terrorized us is a child. Everything that has ever terrorized us is the child. So in Isaiah 9, 1 to 7, which is the bit that Sue read for us, Isaiah prophesies that a child has been born. The actual text is in the past tense. It doesn't come out very well in our traditions, but it's in the past tense. Isaiah was so sure about this that he says, you know what? A child has been born. A son will be given. So there's the two things. He has been born, but he's going to be given. A son is born. A son will be given. Jesus, there at the beginning, has been born. There at the beginning is now going to be born in a way that we can understand. But he's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. I don't blame them for not being able to get their head around that one. I think it's difficult enough for us, and we've got all this experience behind us. But we are told in this particular text that the result of this is going to be great joy. In that those few verses, there's going to be great joy. Everything's going to be burnt up, if you like. All the garments, all the stuff that's bloodstained, it's all going to be burnt up. There's going to be real joy because this child who is born, who is given to us, is going to be our Saviour. And it's quite interesting, and the reason why I read that the text at the beginning was from Matthew chapter 4. And the reason I did that was because, do you know, that is exactly what Jesus was stating when he went. The very first thing he did before he started on his 3-year ministry was to go into the synagogue, actually in Nazareth, because that is what Isaiah had prophesied all those years back, that the land of Zebulun and Naphtali was going to hear about it first. Jesus gets there first. They're the first ones to hear the news. And Jesus repeats what Isaiah had said. In effect, he is saying that day in that synagogue, you know what? A child's been born. Watch this space. All eyes on the child from now on. That makes things just a little bit more exciting, doesn't it? When you start reading Matthew after that and think, ooh, what's going to happen next. So in effect, all eyes on the baby, and the response to this child will be gladness and joy. So, don't miss the joy of the child this Christmas. In the midst of all the stuff and all the darkness in this world, don't miss the promise as we wait for what's going to happen. Get excited. Not like a child waiting for all their presents, but get excited because Jesus is on the move. The angels up, you know, they must be jumping around with joy at this time. Get excited. Well, you thought to yourself, oh, that was a short one from Shirley. Well, you don't get away with it that easily, because this is the next bit, having set the scene for you. And that's the scene that we'll be thinking of for the next 4 weeks, or including this week, up to Christmas. We're actually looking at four particular names for Jesus that we found in Isaiah chapter 9. So a child will be born, and here he is described with not one, but four titles. You need to remember that many of us, we give our children names that we want, and certainly we've got some youngsters in the church here that have got some amazing names, and they've been given those names by their parents to say, my child is special, you know, my child is divine, and all these different names. And I think we've possibly lost some of that in our culture, in this country. But there are those that can teach us that the names that they give their children are very important, very special to them. And they refer to what God has done through them and what they're asking the Lord to do. The names that we get here in Isaiah chapter 9 are not man-given names. These are God-given names, because Isaiah is prophesying into this, and he is prophesying what God has already told him. So he says here, these four names. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Those four, given by God to try and explain to people who this child will be. And this morning I'm looking at Wonderful Counselor. In some versions there's a comma between the wonderful and the counselor. But I think in latter times what we've done is we've rolled them together and we've said it's Wonderful Counselor. And on that basis, I don't know about you, but I always, when I come to this point and I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking, why does Wonderful Counselor come before Mighty God? What is bigger than Mighty God? Well, I started having a look at this. The word wonderful comes from the Hebrew, and that word is pele. We find it in Judges chapter 13, and it means incomprehensible, exceptional, marvelous, surpassing human thought. Not the wishy-washy wonderful that we know of. How was the weather today? Oh, it was wonderful. You know, and did you like your presents there? They were lovely. They were wonderful. Thank you. You know, no way. Get rid of that idea. That doesn't do this any justice whatsoever. for us to be able to really understand what this word means, and it's a wonder, not wonderful, it's wonder. Okay, Pele, wonder. You need to go back to Judges 13, really. And in Judges 13, if you remember the story of Samson? Yeah, we know the story of Samson. Do you know the story before he was born? We tend to skip that bit. He was one of those children who was born to childless parents. And God, an angel of the Lord, came and spoke to his mum and said, "You're going to have a child." "Oh, that's nice, thank you." So off she goes and says to her husband, Manoah, if I've said that right, Manoah, yeah, that'll do. And she says to him, "I'm going to have a child. An angel of the Lord has spoken." "Oh," he says, "well, it would be quite nice if he came and had a word with me as well." And basically, that's what he said. And he said, "Could you ask him to have a word with me as well?" And actually, the angel of the Lord, who we later, it's quite accepted that this is Jesus speaking, Jesus here, comes and says to Samson's dad, "Yeah, you're going to have a child. He's going to be special." And dad, Manoah, says, "Oh, lovely, thank you. Well, can I ask your name, please? Because I'd like to give offerings to you when this comes to pass." And the angel of the Lord, Jesus, says, "Why do you ask me for my name? Why are you asking me for that? It is incomprehensible to you. It is Pele. It is wonder. You will not understand. It will blow your mind. This is supernatural. Wonder." Now we begin to see what that word is actually starting to say to us. Okay? Incomprehensible. And then the word counselor is yahas in Hebrew, meaning one who gives wise and supernatural counsel. This is not just your normal advice of a counselor. This is supernatural advice. This is beyond our understanding. So wonderful counselor is incomprehensible, blowing our mind. But equally, he's a counselor who has supernatural advice to give us. Okay? This is not your normal counselor who you have to go to and they sit you down and say, "Well, tell me what's going on," and you have to tell them and they, you know, that sort of thing. Good though that might be, I'm not knocking it, but this child to be born is going to be a whole lot different to that and a whole lot better than that. Now, if you put those two words together, wonderful counselor, this is what it actually, I think, is the best way of saying this. Supernatural, all-powerful wonder. And wonder, the Pele, is a noun. It's not an adjective, it's not a descriptive word, it's a noun, wonder. Now, does that get you excited? Because it does me, okay? Wonderful counselor, supernatural, all-powerful wonder. It was at this stage that I thought, "Oh yeah, okay, Lord, now I understand why Mighty God comes after that." Because this is beyond everything else, isn't it? This is the child who's going to be born. Let's try and get our heads around that if we can. As we work our way up to Christmas now, think to yourselves, what does that actually mean for me? For the world? For the darkness that they knew then? Wow. This will be a child who will possess all knowledge, someone who can be relied upon for the right advice and the course of action to take. He will be beyond our understanding. We sing it, but we don't believe it. Beyond our understanding. He will simply be right all the time. Now, in someone who says they're right and think they're right all the time, that's really annoying. But for God, this is going to be, you know, doesn't that give you comfort? He's right all the time. And therefore, he's totally reliable. Unlike a human counselor who's fallible, Jesus isn't. This child knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. So we can simply come and hand it to him. He loves us all the same. And I find that staggering. Absolutely staggering. That he should choose to do what we are asking and looking to happen this Christmas. He chose that so that we could sit in his presence in the kingdom. So go to Jesus. Go to Jesus this Christmas. He has the answer to life. The world is falling around us, about around us, isn't it? You know, we look round and hear the news and you think, whoa. He has the answer to life. He is the answer. He is life in all its fullness. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Simply thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. You set this in motion so many centuries ago. And there is nothing more we can say other than thank you. It is quite literally mind-blowing when we begin to see what you did for us, Lord Jesus. And we thank you because in a world that feels increasingly dangerous and difficult and definitely not easy, where we see leaders saber-rattling, where we see counsel being given to those leaders, which is anything but wise, Father, we thank you that you have the answers and we don't have to struggle for them. All we know is that we can hope and trust in you because you are the amazing, almighty, incomprehensible, supernatural power. And we ask that our understanding of you, Lord Jesus, might grow bigger and bigger as we walk towards this particular season of the year. We pray for those in places where life is particularly difficult, where they have had a scorched earth policy. And Lord, in their hopelessness, we ask that they might hear Isaiah-type voices prophesying, acknowledging that you are coming, and that they may receive hope. Be with those who seek to grant some form of help. And for each one of us, Lord, whatever we carry this day, whatever we bring to this time together, help us to know that we can come to you with it. For you are the Almighty Counselor, the one to whom we can come. Not so that you solve everything for us, but as we come to you, we feel and know your peace, and you change the way we see things. Incomprehensible God, we thank you. Amen. Shall we say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father.